So let me ask you a question. Fellas, who are you tempted by? What do you do to avoid falling into temptation's traps? Husbands, how do you handle your wife working with someone you know she's attracted to? These things and more on today's episode. So thank you for letting us into your homes, your cars, and most importantly, your ears. Now everybody listen up, because we've got something to say. Welcome and Merry Christmas, everybody. Indeed, we are back and it is the Christmas season and we're so excited to be recording another podcast as we enter the Christmas season of 2022. Got my two brothers with me. Fellas, how are y'all?
Man, I'm great. How you doing, man?
Hanging in there.
What's going on, everybody? How are y'all?
Yes, sir. We are getting ready to wrap up our three-part series on temptation. And the truth is, we could probably do another several episodes, but we're going to wrap it up for now, talking about temptation and just kind of talking about whether or not it's worth the risk to give in to temptation. Now, let me start this episode by saying that we have all had in our lives embarrassing moments in which we've done something and afterwards thought to ourselves, what in the world was I thinking? All of us have been there. And that's not even necessarily as it relates to cheating, but just in different areas of our life, just at different times, young and old, you've all done something. And then once you've had time to reflect on it, it's like, what in the world was I thinking? We've all been embarrassed. Sometimes that embarrassing moment was able to play out in private. So you were not exposed to the public's eye or the public's opinion. However, sometimes it also played out in the public's eye or in the eye of your family or in the eye of friends or close ones or whatever the case is. And reflecting back on our past two episodes, and if you have not listened to them, again, this is part three of our temptation series. I would say go back and listen to part one, which was dealing with temptation in marriage. And part two, will the temptation to cheat ever go away? So make sure you go back and listen to those two after you listen to this one. And we've gotten some good feedback, I should say, from the past two episodes, especially the last one. Will the temptation to cheat ever go away? In the episode, we gave an example of how coffee or buying coffee for a coworker or a friend or whoever the case is could be somewhat of a fire starter. And some of the feedback we've gotten was that, hey, coffee is just coffee at the end of the day. Or shout out to some of my relatives, my cousins and her best friend, some of our friends, coworkers, cases who've all told us they've heard the episode in different ways. One of my cousins came and we were talking about it with my wife and she asked my wife, she said, do you really have a problem with somebody buying your husband coffee? My wife was like, probably for the most part, because you never can tell a person's true intentions. And I was like, I get that. And then but some who were saying that coffee is just coffee, always say this, you got to remember that the premise of the coffee argument, or I shouldn't even say argument, the premise of the coffee example was that it is somebody you are attracted to buying you the coffee. If there is no attraction, there's no initial threat. I think even Josh brought up on the last episode that, well, even if you're not initially attracted to the person, over time, you can be. Over time, something might appeal to you about that person. So coffee, of course, it was just an example we were using. We weren't necessarily saying that if you buy coffee, you're going to cheat. No, but it is an example that we were using. Me and my wife often joke about that if a woman came to our door and, you know, rung the doorbell, my wife went to the door, and the woman, I won't describe what I'm thinking in my head, but depending on the physical attributes of the woman, right? If she said, "Hey, listen, I want you to know your husband has been trying to get me to have sex with him, or he's been sliding in my DMs," my wife knows what I'm attracting to and what I'm not. And if the woman just does not fit the physical description or the looks of what she knows her husband is attracted to, then my wife is just going to laugh and say, "Yeah, right." Slam the door in the face. She might punch. I don't know. You follow what I'm saying? Because she knows, like, there are some things you're just not attracted to. However, if, I don't know if you two know Bianca Belair, but she's a black female wrestling WWE right now, and she's currently the heavyweight champion. If you don't.
Heavyweight champion?
Yes, sir. She's bad, too. Matter of fact, she was just in a weightlifting.
There you go.
She was just in a weightlifting competition this weekend. Go look her up on IG and all those pictures she posted. But you take Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks, who's also in WWE, who my wife just feels like I got a thing for. Or even, I was thinking about Jessica Alba the other day, man. Good grief. Now, if they were to come to the door and say, "Hey, your husband been sliding in my DMs, trying to get me to, go there with him," my wife would probably be like, "Okay, yeah. Now, y'all fit his attractions. You fit the physical description of what he is attracted to. So there might be something there." You follow what I'm saying? So it's all built on the premise of who you are or what you are attracted to. So, fellas, I'm going to bring you guys in on this. While we were discussing the episode the other day with my cousin, she asked a very, very good question. All right. She asked me and my wife this. She said, "What would you two do if you had a job in which you had to travel in and out of town, in and out of state, overnights, sometimes several nights at a time, with a boss or some coworkers, and that boss was attractive? What would you do from the standpoint of the person who has the job? And then what would you do from the standpoint of the person whose spouse has the job?"
Well, I know what I would do if my wife had a job. It's time to find another profession.
That's an option.
In the beginning, I would be like, "Nah, we gonna have to find something else." Yeah, and we had to check that out in the beginning. It's just it's gonna cause trouble. It's definitely gonna cause trouble.
Yeah,
that's just me. As far as with me is concerned, if she said, "Listen, we got to do something else about this. I don't want you working there."
Ooh, that's tough, man.
But see, it goes from having trouble every day because you don't work with that person every day. And you don't want your spouse to think what they're doing, why they're doing this and all this other stuff. You don't want to have to go through that, man. But you don't, you got to nip it in the bud in the beginning. Like, "Nah, let's do something else." You don't want to wait till after a year, be like, "Nah," because you're already settled in. But that's just how I feel. I don't think I can handle that if my wife had the job. And I don't think she could handle it if I had the job.
You don't think she would handle it well?
I don't think she would handle it well. I know I would. You talk about, I'd probably get fired from going with her. Missing days from work. I could.
That's good.
Hey, I'm just saying that I got a little jealous bone in my body, and you know, that's just.
Oh, I think we all got that. It's not. It can be taboo sometimes to admit that, but now we all have that jealous bone in our bodies. And if I would dare say, if you're married to somebody and they don't kind of hint at that at times,
right?
You know, something might be a little off.
Something might be wrong.
It might be. Now I ain't saying go overboard and stabbing and flattening tires and scraping people's cars and throwing bricks through windows. I ain't talking about that, but just that we all can tell when that little attitude or flair relationship or marriage jealousy kind of rears up. You can kind of tell by the remarks people give and things like that. I think it should rear up every now and then.
Yeah, man. Right. And you don't want to have to wake up in the morning. Hi, right, baby, I'm off to work. I bet you are.
Yep.
Boy, that's rough.
Yeah, that's rough. You notice they get up at the alarm set to go off at 6 o'clock every morning, and then that one morning they're getting up at 5:45, 5:30. Like, why are you getting up early? Like, you'd always be questioning things, man.
They'll be like, why are you so excited to get up for?
Exactly.
You're supposed to be tired, you know.
let me go to bed early so I can get up early.
Nope.
Hey, look, what's that cologne you're wearing? No, that's deodorant.
That's new.
That's degree deodorant.
Nah, we won't do degree no more. I don't like it.
Nah, exactly.
You'd be musty.
Nah, exactly. Exactly.
Right. Why you shaving? Why you getting haircut? Who you telling to do? All this stuff? Man, you don't want to go through that every day.
I tell you.
Exactly.
You're right. Come on, good time.
All right, listeners, we will be right back with more from this episode of the Groom's Room podcast. But first, if you have any thoughts, any ideas, suggestions, or questions, please send us an email at thegroomsroompodcast@gmail.com. Also, follow us on Facebook or Instagram at the Groom's Room podcast. And lastly, please don't forget to subscribe and like our podcast on Apple, Google, or Spotify, or wherever it is that you listen to your favorite podcast. Thank you so much. And now I'm back to this episode of the Groom's Room podcast. Go ahead, Terrence. Terrence freezing up on us, y'all. I might tell on him. I ain't going to tell on him. I might tell y'all why if he keep it up.
No need.
I'm going to let him go for right now. D, all I'm going to say is when you listen to this, because I know you are one of our faithful listeners, and for those that don't know, D has been on the episode, our podcast a few times, along with both of me and Josh, our wives. D is Terrence's wife. D, we got your back. That's all I'm going to say. D, we got your back. So just know, you know, your two brothers, we got you.
Let me start with a public apology.
Hold
up. Oh my goodness.
Let me get my phone.
You're not about to read a script, are you?
No, I'm not reading a script. This come from the heart. Why are you laughing, Josh?
What?
Ooh, it's getting hot. You know, and I'm glad, Barry, you clarified the whole context of the coffee conversation from last episode. You know, I think initially when we had that conversation, I was thinking maybe a little different in general, being, you know, corporate world or whatever world about buying coffee. But the premise was, and the context was about being attracted and the inappropriateness there. So I want to say first and foremost, I apologize to my wife, because I think it's very important to ensure that you're considering the thoughts and values of your wife. Have that conversation, discuss that together on what exactly that means. And, you know, not being disrespectful in regards to buying coffee from one another. If it's something that simple, what, you know, it can lead to something else too. And I'm just not being, you know, I guess nonchalant about something like that, especially with what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Initially, I would say my mind wasn't initially there, but as far as that context, which is what we were talking about the whole episode. So I should have known better, but just knowing that, I want to clarify that that's not what I would condone. It's just, you know, being nonchalant about who it is, opening that door for this, you know, people to do those things with that understanding of the attraction. If you are attracted, that's one, but yes, you could be more attracted. So I'm staying out there. I love my wife. I'll never disrespect her. Don't want to and don't intend to. And I appreciate the opportunity to reflect and talk together about what it means to be married and be in the workplace. So there's that.
Yes, sir. 100%.
That was pure. That was pure.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, I think he was reading a teleprompter.
Oh, no. Yeah, it was too perfect.
Yeah.
It was
too perfect. I think D might be standing in front of him, like, read this.
I'm going to blink twice.
Yeah, man, let us know if you're in trouble. I don't know what we can do.
Absolutely nothing.
Let us know if you're in trouble, man.
But the other question you had about, you know, you and your cousin, I mean, I agree. I mean, especially now that I know my wife, if it's something like that where we're out of town, somebody of the opposite sex, it's going to be a conversation of change jobs, do something different, change the situation, talk to your boss about something else. And if you don't do that, then what's so hard about doing that? Like, why aren't you trying to change jobs? Why do you want to keep going out of town with this person when you know? I think the other piece is if your wife communicates that, then it's your responsibility as a husband to respect her and to make sure that you are respecting the wishes and not creating that toxic nature in your marriage and that tense environment in your home. When, you know, pray about it, pray for a situation change so that you don't have it, because ultimately your marriage is first. I mean, you have a relationship with your spouse after God is that. So you have to respect, pray, and figure out ways to alleviate that concern. Don't keep yourself in that situation.
Now, I totally agree. And I can hear some people, it's almost like sometimes you can hear critics. I'm sure some would accuse us or accuse men who are saying these things of being insecure. But is it really insecurity?
Real quick, it reminds me of, you know, we had the conversation about Kiki Sheard, and she was talking about how she doesn't let, I think, her girlfriend stay in the house.
Yeah.
And people were immediately attacking her, saying she was insecure. But I mean, if that's her stance and that's what she feels is appropriate for her marriage, then you respect that. And hopefully the husband respects that. And right. So I kind of equate that to being the same thing, where that wife is like, no, I mean, especially as a family, you're growing a family, the money's great, but our well-being, our mental sanity, or whatever you want to call it, our safety of you being home is most important. Then you shouldn't want to stay in a situation that's, negating the happiness in your home. So I think, like I said, I go back to it. It's important to really focus on what's the best for your family and what's going to make you happy. And sometimes you do have to make sacrifices.
Right.
That's what we pledged to do, vowed to do when we got married. You make sacrifices, you know?
Yeah, totally agree with that, man. And it is, again, I don't know if Kiki was being insecure, even though I think people try to categorize her that way. And I don't know if we are being insecure, even though I think people would listen to this and categorize us that way. I mean, the reality is, I mean, even with some of the feedback I think some would give from the previous two episodes and the thought process of, you know, can you really be friends with a member of the opposite sex? And how we answered that. And he was like, you know, I think we basically concluded yes, but no, or no, but, you know, maybe somehow in a small way, things like that. You know, some would say we're being insecure, but the thing is, when you're in a marriage, and I've seen this a lot from, like, we often talk about how our podcast is for, you know, those who are younger in marriage, but I've seen this a lot in a lot of our veterans. One of the most important things to have is peace of mind and peace in the home and peace in the marriage. Like, I often reflect back on my uncle, shout out to him, my Uncle Fletcher, who was on our podcast, praying for him, hold strong, man. And those that know the words of prayer, just remember him. Go back and listen to our fifth episode with him on it. But man, he'd often say, what's the most important thing is peace in the home. He, if you guys can remember from that episode, he was talking about how there were two words men should know going into marriage, and that's yes, dear.
Oh, yeah.
And then three words, I am sorry. Why? Because it gives you peace. It keeps peace in the home and peace in the marriage. And he has been married for 51 years. So those are things that I do take from a lot of our veterans who have that 50, 40, 30, 20 year mark or whatever the case is. I mean, in this situation, it would be hard enough dealing with your spouse going to work around the corner every day with a boss or a coworker, and they're working directly with a boss or a coworker that who is attractive, right? That'd be hard enough. Could you imagine them going out of town, out of state, staying at hotels together, traveling on airplanes together, traveling in cars together, whatever the case is? I mean, like, who would want that kind of pressure or that kind of thought process, or to have to deal with that kind of thought process on a daily or nightly basis? I mean, think about that. And Terrence brought up a point that I was going to make. What is most important, the job or the marriage? If you get married outside of God, the marriage is supposed to be the most important thing. So it could be us who has the job. It could be our dream job. It could be the job that we went to school for 4, 8, or 12 years. We've got the job that we got 3 degrees for. That could be the case. But if it is going to affect our marriage, we got to do the right thing and address that, even if that means giving up the job. And I can just imagine. I know that's hard for some. I know it is. Because, you know, we live in this society where marriage is not held to the high esteem that it used to be held to. You follow what I'm saying? We live in a society where marriage is kind of looked upon as something that's, I'm not going to say taboo, but something people don't really, really want to do anymore. So I know that could be hard to hear. You mean to tell me I should give up my dream job because my husband is insecure? Well, put yourself in those shoes. Should your husband give up his dream job because you are a little insecure? And again, it's not necessarily that you don't trust your husband, but you don't know those people he worked with. You do not know those people he works with. You don't know what they might do, what they might try to lure him into. You don't know any of those things. So that is kind of the case here. Another thing that was brought up in some of the feedback we got, gentlemen, I want to get your take on it. And that is, some say that it is easier or even expected for men to flirt and cheat as opposed to women. What do you think?
I disagree.
The premise is, I give you this much, right? Some women feel like they just get hit on all the time. They walk out the house, makeup on, no makeup on. They go get gas. Somebody's whistling at them while they're pumping gas. They go to Starbucks. Somebody's looking at them at some point, offering to buy them coffee, complimenting their car, their shoes, their hair, how they look, their body, whatever the case is. So the argument is, well, for women, that's just so normal. But men are the ones who are usually that aggressive person doing the flirting. So that's why they say it's like men flirt more than women. Well, I don't know. That might have some truth to it. Maybe not. I don't know.
They got women, of course, they're not aggressive like we are. There are some that are. But more times than not, it's more the men. But they ain't got to be aggressive. Yeah. They'll just walk by and know what they're doing. And won't even look at the man, but just walk by. but they know what they do. I don't know what it is. It's just that they could just walk by to get their attention.
Women got power, man.
Yeah.
They got power that they got superpowers.
Yeah. That's it. That's
you know, it reminds me of Friday. Man, I got mind control over Debo. Women got mind control over men. Because yeah. they do.
It's a fact.
They do. It's like what do you call those things in plants? What is it? Or in herbs? Pheromones? I think I'm pronouncing that right. Is it pheromones or something? Anyway, it's like when you smell a plant, it gives off this scientific chemical that draws you into it.
Yeah.
Right. I may have mispronounced the word or whatever the case is, but that's women. As you just said, they walk by and they give off that chemical. And you like, you can be totally thinking about something that has nothing to do with where you are standing at that point. And then that woman walks by and you like, I done forgot all about what I was thinking. Good gracious of life.
And then more times than not, they're doing it on purpose, but at innocent. Yep. Or at like, why are you approaching me? This yep. man wants to approach him. And they're like, why are you talking? You know what you did, even though you didn't do it. You know what you did, even though you didn't do it.
Yes, sir. Plausible deniability. That's how they do it, man. Plausible deniability. They do things to the point where they can do what they want to do, get the reaction they want to get, but it's so on the edge, they can always still deny that was their original motive or purpose.
Right.
That's women. And you know what? We love them for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We love them for it. By the way, let me just kind of throw this egg or this pause here. I'm sitting here talking, trying to moderate the podcast, and my boy is playing, and I'm watching the screen. And for the first time, I think ever, I'm a Tom Brady guy and Josh and Terrence are Cowboys fans. As a matter of fact, Terrence has his big Cowboy star up behind him now. Usually when it comes to football.
Josh got the shirt too.
Oh, Josh, and Josh wearing a shirt. Usually when it comes to football, I'm always the one on the winning end. I'm always the one happier, satisfied more times than not. And it just so happened that this year, the Cowboys might just be one of the top three teams in the NFL, if not number one sometimes. And my boy Brady's on the Bucks right now. Man, them jokers are garbage. And even though they're leading the division, and right now he's moving the ball, man, the opening drive, they running the ball, he's throwing it. They're already down in the red zone right now, so they might. Yeah, they're on the 17 yard line, so they might score, kick a field goal, but they are not good. So anyway, I can't believe you said God is good. Okay. Yeah. yeah. But you do, I will say this. You do know that as it's set up right now, that the Eagles most likely are going to be number one in the NFC, which means the Cowboys will get the fifth seed. And since we are currently leading in the South with a losing record, we'll be the fourth seed. Y'all got to play us round one.
Hey, there's still a way. And I don't mind playing y'all because we owe y'all. I don't mind playing. But there's still a way that Eagles can just fail.
Oh, I believe it or not, I'm not an Eagles fan. I hope y'all beat them. But if y'all don't, y'all got to see us round one. And while you should win because you have the better team, do you really want to see that guy in the playoffs?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, is December 5th. I guess if we both keep winning, we'll see in about 6 weeks.
10-4.
All right. Hey, but all right. So let's jump into some things that we think we all can do when you are struggling with temptation. All right. You're in this fight with temptation. You might be winning or it might be getting the best of you. You might be at the point where you're just about to give in. I want to go over some things that I think you could do, give you some biblical advice to help pull your way and keep you on the winning side and keep you from making a decision that you will later regret or from having one of those embarrassing moments. You know, one of the things we opened up with temptation on dealing with temptation in marriage, we talked about Ime Udoku and Nia Long, right? And then, you know, just what, last week, I don't know if you guys followed this, there was talk about two of the news anchors from Good Morning America, a black man and a white lady who were out on a trip, and news broke that they were in a romantic affair. And I think both were married. And ABC, I think it was ABC, just released a report this morning that they decided to pull those two off air. And some were saying that it's not fair that they are being pulled off air. It's not right what people do in the privacy of their home and the privacy of their bedroom should not be talked about publicly, or they should not, you know, face any consequences for it or anything like that. And I'm sitting there thinking like, wow, you see how it changed from Ime Udoku, right? And I can't even think of the guy's name off the top of my head who is the anchor from Good Morning America.
TJ Holmes.
Yeah. And he's black. And so, I mean, I can't even say it's a racial thing. So I don't know what thing that was that made, you know, people come so fiercely against Ime Udoku. But, you know, a lot of people are saying, and I'm sure it's not all, of course, well, you know, just let him be. Anyway, but again, what can you do when you are faced with temptation? Here's one of the first things I want to bring up. Consider, men, your wife's feelings on the front end before you make that mistake. Consider how she's going to feel. Consider how it's going to break her heart. Consider how it might destroy your family. Think about her looking into the mirror, tears in her eyes, and how she gave her loyalty, her commitment, her body, you could even say, to you. And at that moment, she's crushed because you broke your vows. For most men, that alone will move them and say, I don't want to do this. If you have, and whether it's marriage or relationship, you know, definitely, you know, back in high school, we used to have a whole lot of cheating going on, whatever the case is. But if you have ever had someone cheat on you, or if you've ever, you know, had somehow discovered that somebody you love was out having sex with someone else, you know that feeling. And that feeling sucks. I mean, it can be at first unbearable. You know, in my notes here, I got especially for young people, but even for older people. If you don't, man, if you don't have a good grip on life, that leads people to do crazy things. Because I don't know if we were ever designed as human beings, if God ever designed us initially, and maybe, you know, some could say he did, but to deal with that type of heartbreak, my goodness. So consider your wife's feelings on the front end, how she would feel, what that heartbreak would feel like before you give in. Maybe that would be enough to pull you away.
I agree with you, man. Definitely consider your wife and family, what you've built over the years that you've been, whether it's 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. But I would dare to say that more times than not, that a man won't do it if he's not there in the relationship, far as he's over with it, you know.
Yeah.
He probably would consider her in the beginning, you know. But definitely consider what you built, your family, your children, if there are children involved, if there are children in the household, what you got in the future. Are you willing to risk it all for this one time of pleasure, or however many times it's happened, you know? I agree with you.
I agree wholeheartedly that it's important to consider that. And if you do, and if there's that love, maturity, and you know, spirituality, all of that, but, you know, hands down that love, then you would reconsider, hopefully. I mean, the temptations are strong. We know that. But yes, I wholeheartedly agree that you have to consider that. I also think, just to kind of extend it, it's important to know as a man, when you're ready to be married, you're ready. You are ready. You're at the point mentally, mature wise. You know who you are. You know, you're not waffling on who you are as a man.
Right.
You're not sitting here still trying to gain some status by who you talk to and how many people you talk to and all that.
Right.
And all those things you got to kind of grow out of and get over. Or else you still may be looking for that and seeking that even though you're married. So it's important to, it's generic, but be a man.
Yeah.
You know, man up.
Yeah.
And know who you are, and, you know, not be some fashion of yourself or somebody that needs to grow up still. And a woman will tell a man any, you know, we've all been with our wives, or, you know, even before that, where they told us, you know, be mature. I think it's important to know who you are as a man and a husband, and a man and husband in Christ, so that you can kind of withstand those temptations, right, and consider that, and it means something to you.
Right.
And that's also important too. But yeah, I mean, the deal is you're supposed to consider that, and that deter you for sure.
Here, check this scripture out. This is Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This is NIV version for people who would keep up with that. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interests of others. Even biblically, we are told to value the interests of others above ourselves. In your marriage, I mean, we could take this scripture and do a whole episode on about, you know, how, you know, do men as husbands, do we value our interests over our wives or our families? But in this case of temptation, value your wife's interests, value her feelings, her opinions, and her emotions above yourself, and do that regularly. Do it every day. Then that way, when you get to a point where you're tempted, it ain't that big of a deal. You are already thinking, okay, what would my wife think? Or how's this going to make her feel? Something else I want to bring up. Now, the last episode, we talked about don't press send. Josh brought up run. He's famous for that run quote. He said it on a couple of episodes. Even Terrence said, I got four letters for you, H-O-M-E, home, go home. So here's something else I want to bring up. Don't look. Jesus said that if your eye offends you, pluck it out. And I know for those that don't keep up biblically or who may not be, familiar with that scripture, they're like, he said, what? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he said, if your eye offends you, he told them, he said, pluck your eye out. He did. Because it's better for you to be without eyes than to enter into the gates of hell or to give in into temptation and things like that. All right. Well, let me ask you a question. What do you do when you notice a nice looking lady is about to walk by? Now, we've all been in the situation. We've all been standing on the street corner. We've all been standing in the hallway somewhere. We've all been standing at the mall. And as men, we pay attention to everything. That's natural. Men, we are protectors. We are hunters. It is natural for us to pay attention to our surroundings. We got eyes in the back of our head, right? That is a very natural thing. So we can try to act like we don't notice the nice looking lady that's about to walk by. But in reality, we do. So my question to you guys is, what do you do when you notice a nice looking lady is about to walk by?
Look the other way. Run.
Say run.
Nah, but
just start running. Like, where are you going?
I mean, you got to fight it, man. Just try to look the other way as much as you can. And, if you feel the urge, some kind of urge or whatever, it's best to just walk away, get away. That's the best thing that I can tell you.
Yeah. One thing, I mean, you look away and you don't move. You just stay right there, that line of sight. And, you know, you're not looking to focus on anything. You let that, whatever it is, walk past, but you look away and you stay focused on where you're looking at. And that's away.
I remember being young. Was I 12?
Here we go.
Good grief. I was young, and I was sitting in the car with one of my cousins, and one of my uncles, he was walking out of the store, walking to the car. So we could see him. It was like, you know, we were facing each other. And walking around the car towards him was this young lady. And when I say young, I mean this young adult lady. Make sure I clarify that these days. And she had on some tights, and it was very clear she was well made, right? Well made. And her shirt was not covering her well made parts, right? It didn't go down far enough, so everything was kind of there. So my uncle is walking towards us, and therefore walking towards the young lady that's approaching him. And she had a young man with her too. And so I'm sitting there thinking, I'm really not paying any attention, because I'm like, okay, you know, we can see her backside because she's walking away from us. But, you know, I'm not thinking he's going to do anything. Man, I'll never forget this. He had a hat on, and as she walked by, he was playing with his hat. And then mysteriously his hat dropped and fell on the ground, and it fell at an angle that the only way he could pick it up was he had to then turn around and look up, up at the young lady as she walked by. And that was 24 years ago. I still remember it to this very day. Sometimes you just don't look. You notice things because you notice them. But sometimes, man, you just don't look. Another story I never forget, I was in the hallway one day at work several years ago. And I noticed that there was a very particular shapely woman about to walk by me. Right? I noticed it out the corner of my eye. And I made up my mind that I was not going to look at her. So as she walked by, I looked in the opposite direction. And then I did this thing where as she walked by, I looked up at the ceiling, right?
Yep.
So she could never say, or anybody could never say, that I looked. Do you not know, about a minute or maybe 2 minutes later, somebody walked up to me and said, "I watched you the whole time. I don't know how you did not look at her." Man, wow. She was bad. And in my mind, I was thinking, that's exactly why. Well, one of the reasons why I didn't look, because you also never know who is watching you and who's ready to say, "I saw him do this. I saw him do that." Who's ready to go start these rumors and things like that?
Yeah, that's a bad feeling when you do get caught looking.
Yeah.
And then you make eye contact with somebody else and they see you looking, and then you got to look away or look down or look shame. So, I mean, obviously, I mean, you don't want that to happen, but I agree. I mean, you look up, I look down, however you want to do it, but you look away and you look around that situation, or you look at your wife and start a conversation. Tell her she's beautiful. You know, and she might know what you're doing, but at least try.
It does make it weird when you are with your wife. That does make it very weird. That does. You're like, woof.
Yeah, I mean, think about the beach trip, or, you know, if you're going and, you know, and your wife knows you. My wife knows me. You know, if my conversation changes or something my demeanor changes when I get quiet. Yeah. You know, it ain't like she don't know, you know, me. Yeah, however, yeah. You know, I'm still going to, you know, be intentional with not looking or staring or, you know, making sure that I do what I can to not look in that direction.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode. We'll see you next time on the Groom's Room Podcast. Special thanks to Mr. Chris Blue for allowing us to use the music from his One Light Christmas album. Be sure to check it out, available on all major music networks. Also, follow him on Instagram at Chris B Live.